Reading from Bridge of Birds, a novel of an ancient China that never was, by Barry Hugert. Chapter 14, Lotus Cloud. The first order of business was to establish our credentials as gentlemen of vast wealth and generosity, and I have a blurred memory of flowers and gongs and incense and silver bells, boat races and dice games and cricket fights, brawls and banquets, and tangles of luscious bare limbs. We sailed upon brightly painted brothel barges that floated over azure lakes and docked at artificial emerald islands where pallid priests with flabby faces and twitching hands sold the strangest things in peculiar pagodas. And we rode through the streets in a palanquin so huge that it was carried by 60 sweating servants. Naked dancing girls were draped around us, and we scooped handfuls of silver coins from a brass-bound chest and hurled them to the adoring mobs that followed our every step. "Buy clean clothes," we yelled. "Sweeten your foul breaths with decent wine. Get rid of your loathsome lice. Bathe!" "Long live Lord Li of Cao!" the mobs howled. "Long live Lord Lu of Yu!" I have probably given the impression that I had forgotten the importance of our quest. Such was not the case. Every night I dreamed of the children of Khufu, and I began to be tortured by guilt. And it was with immense relief that I heard Master Li say that our status was well enough established, and it was time to make our move. He decided that the fastest way to get to the Key Rabbit would be to burn our palace to the ground, since it was rented from the Duke of Qin at a ruinous rate, and I was roasting a goose over the embers when the little fellow pattered up. "Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear," he wailed. "Regulation 226, paragraph D, subsection B, palaces rented, accidental destruction thereof, willful." "I found the view boring," Master Li yawned. "Subsection C, palaces rented, willful destruction thereof, full value plus 50%, plus firefighting costs, plus wreckage removal costs, plus triple the normal fine for disturbing the peace, plus 50% of the total for defaming the view provided by the dukes, plus..." "Stop babbling, you idiot, and give me the grand total," Master Li roared. I thought that the little fellow was going to die. He rolled his pink-rimmed eyes toward heaven and screamed, "19,762 pieces of gold!" Li Cao shrugged and pointed toward a long row of chests. "Take one of the blue ones," he said indifferently. "Actually, the blue ones each contain 20,000 pieces of gold. But Lord Li of Cao and Lord Lu of Yu can scarcely be bothered with change." The Key Rabbit toppled over backward. It took a few minutes to revive him, but he grasped the possibilities instantly. "Alas," he panted, "Lord Li of Cao and Lord Lu of Yu have no place in which to spend the night, and while my humble abode is scarcely suitable, you see, I will probably have to stay in the castle all night, counting the Duke's money, and my dear wife will be all alone and unprotected. Women require protection, among other things." He fell to his knees and began kissing the tips of our sandals. "Such as pearls," he wailed. "Jade," he howled. "May we offer you some roast goose?" Master Li said, not unkindly. "It is Lord Lu of Yu's own recipe, marinated 24 hours in the lees of fine wine, with honey and crushed apricots. Lord Lu of Yu, incidentally, is a disciple of Chang Chu, who said that he preferred his own cooking, but other people's wives.
Joy!
Shrieked the key rabbit. That night, I prepared to meet the most expensive woman in the world. The moon was playing tag with fingers of clouds, and the breeze was warm and fragrant with flowers, and crickets chirped in the shadows of the key rabbit's garden. The path of pearls and jade that I had strewn upon the grass sparkled like a reflection of the great river of stars, and I found it difficult to breathe as I watched a young woman trot toward me, exclaiming with wonder as she picked up each glittering bauble. Then she got close enough so I could see her clearly. Number 10 ox, I said to myself, you have been robbed. She wasn't even pretty. Lotus Cloud was pure peasant, with big feet, short, thick legs, large, square hands, and a plain, flat face. She stopped short and examined me with her head cocked in an angle, and she looked for all the world like a country girl who was trying to decide whether or not to buy a pet at a fair. I could almost hear her think, yes, I'll take this cute thing home with me. And then she grinned. I cannot describe that grin. It was as though all the hope and joy and love and laughter that there was in the whole world had gathered into a fist that reached out and belted me in the heart. And the next thing I knew, I was on my knees with my arms wrapped around her legs and my head pressed against her thighs. My surname is Lu, and my personal name is Yu, but I am not to be confused with the eminent author of the Classic of Tea. And everyone calls me Number 10 Ox, I moaned. She laughed softly, and her fingers played with my hair. I shall call you Boopsy, she said. The measure of my enchantment may be judged from the fact that I enjoyed being called Boopsy. In fact, I felt like wagging my tail whenever Lotus Cloud came into view. Key Rabbit, I said a couple of days later, your beloved wife is not witty, and she is not wise, and she cannot read or write, and she has no social graces whatsoever, and she isn't even pretty, and I worship the very ground that she walks on. That, sighed the Key Rabbit, is what all her protectors say. Master Li, have I lost my mind? I asked. Well, beauty is a ridiculously overrated commodity, he said. Over the past 80 or 90 years, I have known a great many beautiful women, and they've all been the same. A beauty is forced to lie late in her bed in the morning in order to gain strength for another mighty battle with nature. Then, after being bathed and toweled by her maids, she loosens her hair in the cascade of teasing willows style, paints her eyebrows in the distant mountain range style, anoints herself with 9 bends of the river diving water perfume, applies rouge, mascara, and eyeshadow, covers the whole works with 2 inches of the powder of the nonchalant approach, squeezes into a plum blossom pattern tunic with matching skirt and stockings, adds 4 or 5 pounds of jewelry, and looks into the mirror for any visible sign of humanity, and is relieved to find none, checks to make sure that her makeup has hardened into an immovable mask, sprinkles herself with the 100 ingredients perfume of the heavenly spirits who descended in the rain shower, and minces with tiny steps toward the new day, which, like any other day, consists of gossip and giggles. Oh, that's part of it, I cried. Lotus Cloud, hops out of bed, plunges her head into a pail of cold water, bellows, "Arg!" runs a comb through her hair, and looks around to see if there's anyone handy who feels like making love. If such is the case, she hops back into bed. If not, she jumps into whatever clothes are lying around and leaps out the door, or window, it doesn't matter, to see what wonders the new day will bring. And since she views the world with the delighted eyes of a child, the day is bound to be marvelous. "That," sighed the Key Rabbit, "is what all her protectors say. How I wish that I could afford my dear wife for myself."
"Nobody can afford your dear wife," Master Li snarled.
He had a point. Although Lotus Cloud was not promiscuous in her greed, at an early age the dear girl had become a specialist. Diamonds did not interest her. Emeralds bored her to tears. I once gave her a casket filled with gold, and she promptly handed it to a friend.
"Why did you do that?" I asked.
"Because she wanted it, Boopsie," said Lotus Cloud, and it was clear that she thought I was an idiot to ask such a stupid question.
"Ah, but fill that same casket with pearls and jade. Never before or since have I known anything to match Lotus Cloud's reaction to a gift of pearls and jade. Her eyes grew wide with wonder, and her hands reached out reverently. A soul-shaking desire racked her whole body, and her face was transfigured by indescribable longing. The sheer force of her greed would practically knock you off your feet, and she would fling herself into your arms and vow to adore you throughout eternity. A man will do practically anything to get a reaction like that. And that was the trouble. Within 10 minutes, Lotus Cloud would forget all about your wonderful gift. And if you wanted to produce another reaction, you had to produce another casket of pearls and jade.
Like all classic swindles, it is simplicity itself," Master Li said with grudging respect.
"I greatly admire her technique, even as it drives me toward bankruptcy," I said.
"That," sighed the Key Rabbit, "is what all her protectors say."
Li Cao was making splendid progress with the Key Rabbit. It was only a matter of time before he would be able to persuade the Duke's assessor to sneak us into the labyrinth and get us out again. But in the meantime, I had to keep Lotus Cloud supplied with pearls and jade. Our chests of gold were melting like snow in August, and one terrible morning I stared in disbelief at the tiny handful of coins that was all that remained of the largest private fortune in China.
"Ox, don't look so guilty,"
Master Li said comfortingly. "The dear girl's pigeon-plucking technique is quite remarkable. Let's go pluck a few pigeons ourselves." Not long afterward, a splendid fellow named Liverlips Lu, who was attired as the majordomo of a great house, banged a gold-tipped staff against the door of the stingiest miser in town. Behind Liverlips Lu was a palatial palanquin upon which rode 2 elegant aristocrats, a cart loaded with garbage, and a goat.
"Throw open the doors!" roared Liverlips Lu. 10,000 blessings have descended upon you, for Lord Li of Cao and Lord Lu of Yu have condescended to rest in your miserable hovel."
I have decided that the problem with poetic justice is that it never knows when to stop. The door crashed open, and we stared at a gentleman who owned 6 different houses in 6 different cities, and who was blessed with a pair of glittering little pig eyes, a bald and mottled skull, a sharp curving nose like a parrot's beak, the loose, flabby lips of a camel, and 2 drooping elephant ears from which sprouted thick tufts of coarse gray hair.
"What have you done with my 500 pieces of gold?"
screamed Miser Shen. Liverlips Lu escaped quite easily, but when Li Kao and I jumped from the palanquin, we landed on top of the Key Rabbit and his platoon of soldiers. Somehow, we became entangled in a chain that was around the Key Rabbit's neck, and he tugged frantically at his end.
"Oh, dear! Oh, dear! Oh, dear!"
he wailed, and I assume that he thought that we were trying to steal the key to the Duke's front door. The single key on the end of the chain was shaped like a flower, with 16 tiny points that had to make contact with precisely the right amount of force before the lock would open, and a pressure lock costs several fortunes. The soldiers descended upon us. We were hauled off to court, but since Liverlips Lu had taken the cart and the goat with him, there was no evidence. Miser Shen could do little more than bellow accusations. But Miser Shen wasn't the problem. The problem was that we were no longer in a position to pay the mandatory fine for disturbing the peace, and the penalty for not paying a fine in the Duke's city was death.
"Woe!"
wailed the Key Rabbit.
"Woe, woe, woe! To think that I should be partly responsible for the decapitation of my dearest friend and the most generous protector that my dear wife has ever had."
Eventually, he calmed down enough to find a bright side.
"Do not worry about Lotus Cloud," he told me comfortingly. "I have discovered that Miser Shen is the wealthiest man in town. I will invite him to tea, and unless my dear wife has suddenly lost her touch, she will be rolling in pearls and jade."
"Splendid," I said. There was no room in my heart for any more misery. Whenever I closed my eyes, I saw the children of Khufu lying as still as death, and the abbot praying, and the parents telling each other not to worry, because Master Li and Number 10 Ox were sure to return with the wonderful root that would cure Khu poisoning.